This is the continuation of session 6.
I think one more question and then we'll stop. And you have?
Do you have an issue with the word intoxicant and how it does apply to cigarettes or coffee?
Okay, good. She's asking about the vow. It's a layman's vow that you can't take intoxicants. The Tibetan word is nyoje, which means crazy maker. Yeah. And what's the use of that vow? And I mean, it's famous in New York because I refuse to give the vows unless people take that, because that's the old line, the old party line. Okay. So what's that all about? The scriptures. First, the question. First answer is this: the scriptures clearly delineate between naturally fermented intoxicants and chemical intoxicants. So 500 BC, Lord Buddha is predicting chemical intoxicants. He says, Dui changam chupe chang, which means whether you've made it with chemicals or naturally fermented substances, you still can't take it or offer it to another person. The amount that you could put on the tip of a blade of grass. And he holds up this blade of grass and he says, whosoever drinks this much or offers it to another person, don't call yourself my follower. He's very, kind of wrathful at that moment. And then there's this long discussion through the centuries. What's the big deal about a glass of wine at dinner, you know? And they say, because it lowers your inhibitions. Slightly. Very slightly. Okay? It lowers your hesitation to do something or say something dumb. You know what I mean? So any thing that would lower in a drastic way, immediately, your ability to restrain your mind is an intoxicant. Okay, so you know, the first Tibetan I ever met in India gave me a cup of Tibetan tea and said, "This will make your mind sharper. Drink it," and it tasted like terrible. You know, it tastes like chicken soup actually, and. I think that's a distinction in Buddhism, you know. I think they'd say it actually kind of sharpens your mind a little bit. I mean, the Tibetans drink a lot, like 16 cups a day. My Lama taught me to do that. And it just kind of keeps you on a slight heightened sense all day long, okay? Now, are there people who drink a cup of coffee and get nervous and then yell at somebody? Yeah. Does that qualify as an intoxicant under the rules of the Vinaya? No. Is it a stupid idea to drink it if that affects you that way? Yeah. Okay. So technically you don't break your vow. But
it's not intoxicant because it's poisonous.
No. It's an intoxicant because it lowers your inhibitions. Okay. Okay. Well, how about... Yeah.
Could you get the mantra for the fire people?
Oh, God. I didn't bring it. Rob, you want to do a run?
Yeah.
Computer. Flashlight. Oh, so we'll have to do questions and answers for another few minutes. Because he has to go get the mantra. Okay. And you're around all the time. How about you?
If it's correct to say that...
Black computer. He knows. Yes.
If it's correct to say that bodhicitta and the achievement of omniscience is one of those deeply hidden karmic correlations.
Yeah.
Are there any instances where the Buddha actually fleshed that out and described how bodhicitta functions as a cause to remove the obstacles to omniscience?
To omniscience?
Omniscience. Is it correct to say that it's a direct perception of causation?
Definition of omniscience is... although I can't state it direct, I mean, word for word, but what it says is to see all objects which fall into either one of the two truths of all times simultaneously. Meaning only a Buddha can directly perceive emptiness and all those objects which have emptiness at the same time, and of all time, past, present, and future at the same time. And that's omniscience, okay?
Dependent
origination is one little one of those. You see what I mean?
So. But I think you also said perhaps last year that it was knowing what you should take up and what you should put away.
That's a test of how you should relate to the idea of omniscience. You see what I mean? Like, Do you want to become omniscient so you can know the Latin names for every plant? No, that's the example in the scripture. Not Latin, okay? But, no, really, it's like, do you want to know Sheje Chedat means the divisions of, the technical divisions of all knowable things. Is that what it is to be omniscient? Is that the point of why we should try to become omniscient? And they said, no. Omniscience really boils down to knowing what's good karma and what's bad karma, and what will get you to liberation and what won't. But it doesn't mean you don't know the other thing.
Well, that's what that says to me, though. It says to me that that's a direct perception of causation that you understand immediately.
Yeah, you could say that's the benefit of being omniscient, and that's the main point of being omniscient. But omniscience is not restricted to that. How's that?
Can you address that? Can you flesh out that link between how bodhicitta functions to actually remove those obstacles from the
field? Yeah, hang on just a second. Second year TIL. Huh? TIL.
Yeah.
Near SREG in Gyu, in Tantras. Okay. How the emotion of bodhicitta destroys the obstacles to omniscience.
Yeah, how does it actually function as a cause to do that?
I don't know. There's a difference between obstacles to nirvana and obstacles to omniscience, right? One is obstacles that prevent you from removing your mental afflictions forever, and the other is obstacles that prevent you from becoming totally omniscient. And the former are mostly related to mental afflictions, which is why they're called mental affliction obstacles. And then the latter mostly relate to subtle seeds of seeing things as self-existent. So, to remove the obstacles to omniscience, you'd have to remove the very subtle tendencies for things to appear to you as self-existent, which is even more subtle than subtle tendencies to see things as self-existent. And how it works to destroy those, I think it's more omniscience. More the direct perception of emptiness, continued direct perception of emptiness. Okay? But it is true that only people with bodhicitta can do that. So why is that true? I don't know. Can't give you an immediate answer.
One thing that I've speculated on, if I can.
I don't mind.
Is it by virtue of the emptiness of the mind that if you have that motivation, that you actually create that ability?
It could be. It could be that. It may also have to do with breaking down the limitation of yourself to yourself, you know, maybe something to do with that also. I personally think that as you go to sleep is a good time to review the day and do the four powers. I think just before you go to sleep, it's a good time to do it. And I would just do like a 10-minute meditation on the four powers, unlike the worst things of the day, maybe the worst thing of the day. I think you'll find that it repeats itself. And it's due to one mental affliction that's your favorite one. And I'd say that. I would do the mantra in connection with the fire offering. And I would do the fire offering maybe once a week on your day off or something, like on a Sunday or a Saturday. We used to go to the beach and do it. Like, we'd have a nice picnic, and then everybody would do their fire thing. And I want to say one thing about the fire thing. You know, this is one of those things that great lamas do because they know it's more fun to sit and make a fire than to try to meditate for 10 minutes. And, no, really, and I'm not kidding. And sit there and go into a reverie, you know, sit there, stare at the flame, and just let your mind go, you know what I mean? And it's an excuse to be quiet for 15, 20 minutes. And there's something about a flame that's irresistible, you know? You watch the flame, especially on a beach at night or something like that, and just watch the flame and then do a real slow one, four powers. And there's something about the flame that holds your attention better than just sitting at home on your bed and trying to meditate, you know what I mean? And I find it very relaxing, very cleansing. I come home and I feel like, they say it's very, very important at the end to say, okay, that's over with. You know what I mean? Especially if you're going to die. You know, they say, if you're close to dying, it's important to go through four powers on all the bad things you ever did to anybody and say, that's over. I'm over that. You know what I mean? And decide that it's finished. Oh, that's a good question. somebody said, is it okay to pass this on to other people? You know, can you teach other people that? That's 90% of the reason I teach, is that I want to create teachers. You know, in New York we have 12 assistant teachers doing half the classes now, and half of all my classes. So, of course, please. That's the whole reason in my mind to have classes, is to that you become the next lineage holder. You know, I want that. That's my dream. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Here we go. Okay, let's do a transmission time, okay? Then anybody who can't see it or is not close enough, you can come up afterwards and do it, okay? Ready? You have to repeat it 3 times. Then you own it. Then you have to pass it on to other people. All right? Promise? Okay. Because I get all the credit. No. No, just kidding. You do too. Okay. Say Om.
Om.
Vajra.
Vajra.
Daka.
Daka.
Kaka.
Kahi,
kahi, sarva, papam, dahana, basmim, kurye, soha. In the oral lineage, they say kurye, okay? That's secret, okay?
How do you spell it?
We don't spell it, it's oral. Okay,
sorry.
Ready? Second time, ready? Om Vajra,
daka,
kaka,
kahi,
kahi, sarva, papam, dahana, basmim, kurye, soha. Last time, om,
vajra,
daka,
kaka,
kahi,
kahi,
sarva, papam,
dahana,
basmim,
kurye,
soha. Okay, cool. It works if 2 things are present, right? The Buddha wrote it, so that's okay. And you have to be keeping your vows. You have to at least be trying to keep your boat, okay? Or it doesn't work. All right? Okay, I think that's cool.
Quick translation of what that means?
Nutshell
translation.
The guts is here. Sarva means all. Papa means bad deeds. Dahana, basmim means purified. Kuru, I do. Okay? Daka is referring to the deity. What do you call it? You're like guardian angel. Okay? How's that? That's enough. We don't translate the whole thing. Okay?
When exactly do you say this?
It's good to do it while you're... Yeah, you can repeat it. Every time you throw in, try to do one.
Can you also do it with your...
Yeah, you can do it on your rosary. But technically, we often do it as we're throwing. Okay, as you're throwing in. Okay? That's cool. So just do it, okay? Then you go burn up all your bad karmas. Alright? It's a cool practice. I think it's not like taught enough or taught clearly enough. So now you have it. Now teach it to other people, okay? Alright. We'll do a concluding prayer. Are you ready?
Om Vajra Vidya Om Chinsa Gesa Shi Om Vajra Vidya Om Chinsa Liu Koyu Ki Kowen Si Ri Dabu Ri La Sha Nu Pa Po Pa Sam Li Nu Pa Lang Shi Chan Da Mi Nu Da Nu Pa Na Yam Da Na Ya Shi Dhamma Chodo Dhamma Nyingi Dhamma Rinpoche 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 On behalf of everybody here and everyone at Vajrapani, we know you want to go into long retreat soon, but we pray that you will always consider Vajrapani your home, and please, you and all of your students, to please come back very soon, and we wish you long, long life, no obstacles to your life and to your retreat, and all the happiness. Thank you so much for coming.
And thank you for me and my ducks get more and more every year, and and thank you for all the hospitality. I know it's not easy, you know, from the airport to LMB, okay. And I thank you for all your patience, and I think you know, we try really hard. I don't think we're very sophisticated yet at it, and so we probably caused you some last-minute problems and things like that. And but thank you for that. And then especially, I think, thank the people who built this place, you know, with their hearts and with no money, and all the work. And, like, we're enjoying the fruits of the labor of people who came here 20, 30 years ago and who've worked their whole life here to make this place. And thank you for it. I mean, I'm not exaggerating that it's one of the most beautiful places in the world to teach at. And the students here and the people in this community are, I think, I don't know, it's just really magic every time I come here. It's because the people are already soaked in Lama Sopa's teachings and Lama Yeshe's teachings. You're already... it's easy to teach here, you know, because you're so soaked in his... I had a dream about Lama Sopa. I never have good dreams like that. And he... this is about 2 weeks ago, and he looks at me and he says, you're riling up a lot of people, you know, and he blinked his eye, you know, and then I said, and I said, yeah, and he laughed, and then he was quiet, and he went into this thing, and then this big bubble of perfect love was coming out of him, and it started to come towards me, you know, and I'm like very objectively looking at it and saying, wow, perfect love. I've never seen anything like that, you know, and it just hit me, and then it enveloped me, and then I was inside this perfect love, and he didn't say a word after that. He just sat there, and this perfect love just put me in this big bubble, you know, of perfect love, and I was sitting there, and he was sitting there, so we finally had the brains to ask him to teach in New York, and it was extraordinary. And the feeling of something happening there, that something was starting at that moment in New York, was very intense. And I think 500 people came on 24 hours notice, and it was intense. Anybody who was there will never forget it, you know. And you're very, very lucky to have such a great Lama. You don't have any idea, I think, because you're used to it, you know. And I feel very grateful to be one of his students now. And, you know, it feels very beautiful. So that's all. You're very lucky, and thank you for all your hard work. I know it's not easy to do these things. And for me, it's very, very important for my life to have these things. And for my own, you know, I don't know how to say it. Anyway, thank you for asking me to come and letting me teach, okay? All right. So I pray that you live long life. And let's do it a lot.
Okay. This is the end of session 6. You have been listening to The Four Powers, How to Get Rid of Your Old Bad Karma with Geshe Michael Roach. To contact us on other courses available or for further information, please check our website at www.world-view.org.